for each ticket. Tickets are available through WBAI.org or by calling 718-788-5263. That number again is 718-788-5263. You can make arrangements to get the tickets by calling the aforementioned number or pick them up at WBAI's administrative office located at 388 Atlantic Avenue in Brooklyn. And thank you once again for supporting WBAI New York Pacifica Radio.
Once they were as warm as you. Like you, they fully expected to pull back the covers, then rise from their beds the next morning. They'd been to the market and bought eggs and bread for tomorrow's breakfast. They confirmed appointments with friends, students, lovers. Why, they had even picked out the clothes they meant to wear after their morning showers. But then, inevitably, they never did rise from that bed. Perhaps they never made it to the other side of the street, carrying those groceries. Maybe something went terribly wrong as they reached into the closet to retrieve their trousers. And now they are no more. Or are they? Why, here comes one now. And another. Great performers of the past on Morning Ursae. Fridays, live, 10 to noon on WBAI.
Questions about your computer?
Mm-hmm.
Want to know about the latest electronics?
Yeah.
Are you confused by high-definition TV?
A little.
Well, tune into WBAI every Wednesday at 8 p.m. for the Personal Computer Show.
Yeah?
Yeah, that's every Wednesday on WBAI 99.5 FM.
Oh.
So why don't you tell a friend?
Well, okay.
And tell your boss.
Well.
Hey, call your mom and tell her about the Personal Computer Show every Wednesday at 8 p.m. on WBAI 99.5 FM.
Okay.
Hi, this is Barika Edwards of the Artsy Fartsy Show. And why don't you be my buddy? Become a WBAI buddy. If you become a WBAI buddy, you'll be able to stroll down that line with a tote bag. You are so cool. Not only that, you'll get a membership perks card so you can show your WBAI bling at shops and museums. You'll become a voting member of WBAI, and you help eliminate the fund drives. It's only $10 a month. Why spend it on Starbucks? Go to WBAI.org and become a WBAI buddy today.
Hi, this is Iggy Pop, and you're listening to WBAI in New York, the voice of truth.
I took a pounding from the radio today. I heard the radio say it over and over, and there was no escape.
This is WBAI 99.5 FM in New York, and this is Iggy Pop.
And you are listening to WBAI 99.5 FM in New York. Time is just about 7 p.m. Time for a very special episode of Off the Hook.
Bum diddly bow.
That is the number 10. We're a big fan of the number 10 today because there's something special going on involving the number 10. And we've got a big crowd here in the studio to tell you all about it. Let's see. Who have we got in here? This is Rob T. Firefly here with you, and I'm joined in the studio by Mike.
There's a lot of people pointing at me right now. It's really weird.
And Mitch Altman is here.
Howdy.
Aesthetics is here.
Hello.
Night Owl is here.
Hi there.
And Neo is here.
Saludos and greetings.
There is a big crowd, and on the phone, I believe we have Bernie S. Bernie, are you there?
Wow. You know what we haven't learned to do in all these years is operate a telephone.
And I believe I've lost him again. he'll try us back, and we'll do what we got to do. But until then, we have got a... we've got a special episode in the works because this is the eve of the eve of the 10th Hope Conference, Hope X, as we call it in Roman. And some of this this crowd in here are folks that are helping us out with it in various ways. So, what have we got going on, Mike?
We have so much going on that it's a bit overwhelming. The conference starts on Friday, but of course the setup for it starts tomorrow. So I guess Mitch is here, and he is coming to town. When did you arrive in town?
I got here a couple days ago.
And I know you're always working on a million things for all conferences and just in general, but what are some of the things you've been working on for Hope?
Well, the main thing I've been working on is organizing the mezzanine, which has a huge hardware hacking area with lots of workshops. There's also lots of art.
And what does that mean for hardware hacking for people who don't know?
So it can mean just about anything you like, which is convenient.
Mitch, you're not helping.
I put out the call for people to give workshops on whatever they wanted to give workshops on. So pretty much people who make anything. So there's workshops, of course, I'm giving a workshop on Arduino for total newbies and how to solder. I'm back in America. How to solder so people can make cool things with electronics. And there's people who have a workshop on how to set up your own GSM telephone system. There's people.
Wait. So I can come to Hope and I can learn how to set up a telephone system.
Yeah.
In Midtown Manhattan.
In Midtown Manhattan.
And right. The incumbent telephone operators won't get mad at me?
No, it's not illegal to learn how to set up your own telephone system.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
All right. So how do I do it?
I'll come to the workshop and find out.
All right.
I'm not an expert on that. I'm pretty good at organizing people into giving workshops of things they're interested in, and one of the people happens to be interested in an expert on this, so they're totally happy and willing to share that with you. So if you can find a few moments in your organizing of Hope, that would be a great thing to do.
Okay, I believe we might have Bernie back. Bernie, are you there? You're not there, are you?
Wow. What kind of phone is Bernie on this week? Rob is shrugging near the microphone, but silently. So it's hard to say. And Mitch is working. I'm looking at your phone, which our audience can't see, but it's full of colored boxes.
Yeah, so these colored boxes are all workshops because I there's too many to memorize them. One of them is someone I met in Urbana, Illinois, who created a musical instrument out of hard disk drives and other e-waste. And he's giving a talk at Hope, and he's giving a workshop on how to make your own. We have a pile of hard disk drives that anyone can use to turn into musical instruments. Yeah. There's someone else who I've known for a while who's giving a workshop on colored lights, red, green, blue.
You're going to have to narrow it down, Mitch, because if there's one thing I've learned from attending all these conferences, it's that there's many, many varieties of colored lights. And I was going to say hackers love them all, but really I think everyone loves
who
just
like
randomly blinking
lights.
But what specifically are the lights going to do?
So these are strips of light, and they've become really popular in the last year or two. So you mix red, green, and blue together in various intensities, and you can get just about any color. That's the way color monitors get color. And that's how you get color on your phone if you have one of those things. So he's made it very, very easy to make your own very complex patterns of colored lights to light up rooms, or to maybe make Nyan Cat if you wave it back and forth. So that's just one of the things. There's someone else doing a music one using Data Glove, which is something that I helped create back in the 80s, and now anyone can do it, not for a quarter million like back then, dollars, but more for a few dollars, and he uses that as a musical instrument.
Do we have Bernie on the phone yet?
Always hopeful.
All right. There's always hope.
So, yeah, and speaking of Bernie, he helped set up a kind of a workshop where people can take the FCC exam for amateur radio license, and you can become a ham radio operator at HOPE. And there's also workshops on how you can use the Freedom of Information Act for total beginners, and then an advanced one.
So that is not an electronic device, the Freedom of Information Act.
No, but it is a workshop on how to do something that might be worthwhile.
So I can learn how to get I did this once, not from this workshop, but I got the records of everywhere I've traveled internationally. I imagine it would require several rainforest worth of paper, Mitch, if you were to request that. But other people can learn how to do that here, and how to get more information probably than I got.
Yeah, you can ask for all sorts of information, not just where you've been, which you already know, but what kind of information any kind of government agency has on you or something that you're interested in.
One thing I did learn, though, this is aesthetics, is that you can't actually FOIA yourself for the contents of an NSA program that is classified even though it's leaked. I think it was PRISM, around the time that PRISM came out. A whole bunch of people, somebody created an automated tool that you could just submit your name, and, the NSA is surely going to give you all the information they have about you that they've collected. And no, they gave me a form letter saying that they couldn't. So there are limits to what this can do.
It's better than having the rainforest paper with a big black splotch on it saying redacted, 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 redacted.
I don't want to make you read this whole schedule, but this is just, we've just heard a part of it so far, and that this whole schedule of colored boxes is just one part of the larger conference. We're going to have a bunch of talks as well in aesthetics. You're giving a talk.
I am, yeah. Basically about online names and online identity stuff. And so, by the way that I got into all this stuff was a couple of years ago, Google Plus rolled out, and they had this policy called the Real Names Policy, and they were just kind of haphazardly suspending all kinds of people. My favorite example, they actually suspended William Shatner. Like, Captain Kirk got suspended from Google Plus because they didn't believe it was really him.
Now, so you are, as far as I'm concerned, really aesthetics, but Google, I guess, disagreed?
Google thought the name did not look like what became called as a name-shaped name. So, if your name is John Smith, or I guess John Smallberries, you're fine. Thanks, Booker Bonsai.
Freed isn't good enough either.
Oh, right, right, right.
Or anything in Unicode. Heaven forbid you should have a name that's in a different language.
Yep.
It doesn't pass the filters.
Yeah.
So something had changed along those lines just yesterday, I believe.
I think it was yesterday, yeah. There's any number of circumstances which may have led to this, but Google went ahead and came out with, I guess it was a blog or a Google Plus posting or something under the Google account, saying that they are, the terms of it are basically they're no longer enforcing what was called the Real Names Policy, and that they're allowing people to use any name they choose on Google service. And, I assume this is within reason. For example, you can't do identity fraud or anything like that. But this was a monumental shift, and this got all over the blogosphere. It was on, various news sites and whatnot.
Do you have a handle on how even this more limited policy will be enforced?
What's that?
Mitch is pointing out that handle is a good choice of words here, but do you have a handle on how this more limited policy might be enforced, or is it still too early to say?
I think it's still too early to say. One of the questions I have, this is actually, I'd have to look at the exact dates, but I think this is the 3-year anniversary of what was called NIM Wars, where Google was suspending everyone. So, it's a great anniversary present. I just wish I'm not in a relationship with Google anymore, but if I were, I'd be really happy to have this, so... it's all kind of up in the air.
Okay, I'm going to try this once again. Uh-oh. Are you there, Bernie?
I'm here.
Oh, my God.
Excellent. And we've just been joined by another friend of ours. Cheshire Catalyst is here.
Hi there.
Hello. Okay, everything's coming up, Hope Staff.
Wow. So, Bernie, while we have you, why don't you tell us about some of the many things you've been working on?
Oh, geez. I've had my fingers in too many pies, this Hope X. Everything from movie coordinator. We have several really interesting films playing at Hope this year. And we have, I've been working with Mitch on projects and workshops. We have an amateur radio station set up on the 18th floor, or will very shortly, to reach numerous countries around the world without infrastructure. Been involved in a speaker committee with vetting about 100 speakers. Actually, we vetted a lot more than that. We had to distill it down to about 100 speakers.
It would be so cruel, but I'm really tempted to ask you about some of the ones that were rejected. But maybe you can tell us about some that we accepted instead.
Well, you know what? Some of the ones that were rejected can still get in on Speaking at Hope. There is a fourth room called the U Room where you can sign up. Anybody can, even you, Mike, can sign up.
Ooh.
for either a one-hour slot or for a lightning, five-minute lightning talk slot in the U Room.
Hey, Bernie.
Yeah.
Did we get a talk submission from the director of the NSA?
Actually, we did get an offer from the NRA. The NSA. Freudian slip. Like the HAL thing with IBM. The letters are just off a little bit. But we just couldn't fit the NSA into our schedule this year. We had more important sneakers this year, so that's how that goes.
Among the many speakers, I mean, any of our speakers is more important than the NSA, but among the entities more important than the NSA, we discussed last week, we'll have Edward Snowden speaking, will we not?
We will, and he will be having a public conversation with an earlier whistleblower from an earlier generation, Daniel Ellsberg. So this is really a historic event where these two renowned whistleblowers who have made a huge impact on the American conversation, and I'm hopeful on government policy with regards to our lives and how our lives are affected. We're going to hear their live insights on these things. We'll just see him, hear him, and Daniel Ellsberg will be there in person. So this is really exciting. I can't recall anything like this in my lifetime ever happening before.
Certainly not at an event I've ever been involved with. But this year it's happening.
Good thing. That is at 1 o'clock on Saturday in the Manning Room, named after Chelsea Manning, another whistleblower who, unfortunately, is in prison for about 35 years. Thomas Drake, another NSA whistleblower, will be there. He'll be speaking with film director Vivian Weissman on a talk called War on Whistleblowers. And that, I believe, is Friday afternoon, and there's just so much going on. If you can go to x.hope.net and click on the button that says schedule, and you'll see about 100 speakers on some really fascinating topics. Not all of it is political. A lot of it is just about technical stuff, but really interesting technical stuff with regard to privacy, anonymity, building something electronic, just the whole gamut of things that are of interest to folks in the hacker community. Will be on full display at Hope.
That's excellent. And you mentioned the film, and of course we've got a full film program going on with some awesome things curated into it, which is fun, because here at the show we actually got an email recently from one of our regular listeners, Sanda, who asked us if anyone has seen The Internet's Own Boy, the story of Aaron Schwartz, the documentary by Brian Knappenberger. I'd love to hear your opinion, says Sanda. And of course, I have not seen the film yet. I don't know if anyone in the room has. I'm getting various.
Not ruining it for anyone else.
No spoilers. But there is a place where we can see it very soon, isn't there, Bernie?
Saturday night at 10 o'clock at Hope in the Manning Room, you will be able to see The Internet's Own Boy, the story of Aaron Schwartz, introduced live by director Brian Knappenberger, who will then be doing a Q&A after the film. And that will be followed by another film that's just out. Not in theaters yet, called Algorithm. It's actually a science fiction film, a film, not really science fiction, but a fictional thriller kind of film, dubbed by the director, who really seems to know what he's talking about, as being very realistic. I've seen some trailers of it. It's worth catching. And there will be free vegan popcorn at that midnight screening.
Bernie, isn't popcorn usually vegan?
Well, you know, you never know what they're going to put on it that might not be vegan, so...
I think it's like kosher. It depends on how they kill the corn. now that I've killed the room. But yeah, we've got those. We've got some other really cool movies. There's another movie from Monochrome that's going to be showing. And I'm going to try to pronounce this on the radio.
Oh, good. This should be entertaining in and of itself.
Die Gichten Saga, The Rise of Exenfriedel, maybe. But it's by our friends at Monochrome, Johannes Grenzfurthner and others. And Johannes will be there, I believe, with the film. And, yeah, of course, they never disappoint. They're always completely out of their minds. Another movie, War on Whistleblowers, Free Press and the National Security State. And, you know, there are other reasons to come to Hope, too. It's not just to watch the movies. There's going to be a concert, electronic music, if you're into that sort of thing. Do not miss it. There's all kinds of other cool things going on, some great talks. And, yeah, I'm excited. How about you guys?
Yeah, like 150 talks, is it?
Oh, is that all?
And probably some art, too, right?
Yep, there's an art area that's been curated. Some really interesting stuff is going to show up in there. I've had an early look at some of it, thanks to my sources. And, yeah, it's worth looking at. It's going to be worth it, and it's going to be just another interesting thing you could do at the conference.
I'm just looking through this talks list, and in addition to the ones we mentioned, there's so many others that are interesting, one of which is going to be given by Cheshire, who's in the room with us, and so maybe you can tell us a bit about that.
Excellent.
Well, I'm rather proud and honored to be the first session that kicks off the event, even though it's on the secondary track. The talk is called, Are You Ready to Sip the Kool-Aid? SIP, of course, is the acronym for Session Initiation Protocol, which I consider the gateway drug into voiceover IP, voiceover internet protocol. And the talk will be about Asterisk, which is open source PBX. If you've got a dusty old IBM PC compatible computer lying around with a few open slots, you can pick up a line card and a station card, plug them into your computer, and turn it into a PBX, a private branch exchange. You do have to go find yourself a carrier that will accept the voice over internet protocol, but basically you'll have your own IVR system, your interactive voice response. And the reason I'm proud to be the kickoff session is because of the roots of 2600 Magazine being phone freak roots. And of course, I'm from the old TAP newsletter from the 1970s and 80s. So that's why I'm honored to help kick off the sessions for the entire Hope Conference.
Hey, Cheshire.
I'm not sure that Cheshire can hear you. We're going to pass him some headphones.
Okay, I just wanted to ask, I don't know if Cheshire can hear me or not.
Can
you hear me, Cheshire?
Yes, I can. Go ahead, Bernie.
All right. You know, there'll be a lot of phone freaks, but one of the most surprising ones who's coming is NSA whistleblower Thomas Drake. He's an old phone freak. He's a reformed, he says, blue boxing phone freak and former reader of 2600 Magazine. Can you believe
that? Oh, that's great. Oh, I can believe it, certainly.
Phil Horn, who is the editor of Telecom Digest, which I think you probably read over the years.
Yes.
It's the oldest internet newsletter still in existence. And he will be going over the history of the 30-some year history of Telecom Digest and all the interesting things that have happened in the telecom field since the beginning of that newsletter. Bill Horn, that's a late Sunday in the main room.
That's very good. Yeah, I especially wanted to bring in some of the voice over IP technology into the conference because blue boxes just don't work anymore. Now, there is a telephone number set up where if you have a blue box or have downloaded the blue box app for your Android device, you can call it up and play blue boxing on that particular VoIP system. But to actually crawl through the network, that stuff just doesn't work anymore. And so the Asterisk system allows people to go explore the telephone network again, the public switch telephone network, which is now accessible through voice over IP.
Excellent, excellent. And one of the main events that's going on, we've got another speaker who's doing our keynote. His name slips my mind. Any of you guys know who that might be?
No idea.
One that we haven't mentioned already?
I don't know if we can mention the one that we haven't mentioned already.
That's very confusing.
The one we haven't mentioned?
Okay, go ahead and mention him.
I really don't know which one we haven't mentioned.
Well, then we'll have to mention both of them.
It's on the program.
This is really confusing, Rob. Why don't you just tell us?
And this is why I'm the backup guy. Okay, so we have a conversation with Edward Snowden happening.
Yeah, we did mention that while you were, I think, dialing the phone.
Well, no wonder I missed
it. But we can talk about it some more if you have new information.
I don't have new information. In fact, what I will do instead is we got a couple of more listener emails. I'll just touch on them really quick. They're all on topic. They have to do with Hope. Map writes, very excited about upcoming Hope. Hopefully the hotel pen has resolved the air conditioner issues that I seem to remember from last Hope have been resolved. And, of course, we think the hotel is a cool place. And, of course...
that might have to do. I mean, one of the reasons... So, I mean, we haven't mentioned it. It's basically impossible, right, to have a hacker conference in Midtown Manhattan. The most expensive real estate in the country, if not the world. And we get to take it over, you know, nonstop all through the night for 3 days straight. Mm-hmm. And one of the ways we can do that is to choose a place where maybe the air conditioning works, but not quite as well as we would like.
Well, and of course, the
I should just remind some of the folks in the room who are not here every week that the microphones are directional and we don't all have headphones, so you can't know if you can hear yourself as a test. But if you're nowhere near the microphone, then it probably won't work.
Right. But yeah, the hotel has been renovating itself since time immemorial, and we think they've been doing a decent job, and hopefully all will be well. Sean writes us, hey there, guys. Hope you're well despite the crap going on with your ex-distributors. For those not familiar with that saga, go to 2600.com and prepare to weep. I went to Hope number 9, which was my first Hope conference. Unfortunately, I will not be able to attend this one, but I thought I'd share this observation. I noticed that many of your between talk speakers would remind people that they need to eat and sleep. I forgot what that snappy little formula was. And okay, Sean, I will remind you what that snappy little formula was, as well as anyone listening who's coming to the conference. It's a little something called the 5-2-1 rule, where every day of a conference, make sure to get yourself 5 hours of sleep, 2 square meals, and 1 shower or bath. These are the minimums in order to take the best possible care of not only yourself but those around you, and of course we appreciate that.
Is this not obvious to anyone?
Sometimes we forget.
Sometimes logistics do get in the way.
Indeed. So we all do our best. Sean goes on to write, Hope was a very nice experience. I learned how to solder. I picked locks for the first time. I dragged my copy of Dear Hacker all the way from Chicago just for a manual signature, which is no mean feat because that book is huge. And I just couldn't help but notice how freaking happy Bernie S. looked all weekend.
And, I gotta say, there are a few things that bring me as much joy as being part of an event that brings so much fascinating information to so many people who are voraciously drinking it up. It's all about information sharing of stuff that you just never knew about and wanted to know about, and it's all there at HopeX.
Absolutely, and of course it always is very nice and comforting for all of us to see a big smile on your face, Bernie. and I was pleasantly surprised, Sean goes on, to see that the Hotel Pennsylvania looked 1,000% better than I remembered it when I had to go there for work in 1999. Hopefully I'll be able to make it in 2016, and we hope that you'll make it as well. You can all send us email, oth@2600.com, we love to hear from you.
I think one of the things that's really magical about the conference, like, of course, anything looks 1,000% better when it's filled with hackers and not, you know, some boring event that you're required to go to for work.
Absolutely. I mean, this studio looks so much better just having the bunch of us in here, because we're usually not this full. But all your smiling faces just really brings joy to my heart.
One thing I want to remind people, I've seen rumors about this on Twitter. We will be selling tickets at the door for as long as the supplies last. People are there are rumors going around that Hope is sold out. That is not true. You can still come and get a ticket at the door.
Excellent. Okay, I'm going to try and get another guest on the phone. So while I'm doing that, if you guys can take this. Bernie, I apologize in advance if you get dropped because of the system.
If that happens, I'll just bow out.
Telephone technology is really an amazing thing, especially WBAI's implementation thereof. But Mitch, you're just involved in so many things. I know you told us about some already, but I'm sure you have some more.
Well, I wanted to say something, too, just about Hope and in general. It really is a magical event. The first hacker conference I went to was Hope 6. That was in 2006, and it changed my life forever. totally. I was living a life I really loved living, but that opened me, going to Hope 6 opened me up to a whole new world with so many amazing people. And at that point, there were hardly any hacker spaces in the entire planet, and I didn't know I was about to start one. But life is kind of strange when you meet people. You know, like, one of the great things with Hope and other hacker conferences is it's a huge event with all these people who love what they do. And unfortunately, that's not the case at the world at large, but a vast majority of people at Hope love what they do, and it's like totally amazing when you're surrounded by people loving what they do. It's very inspiring. And so I was inspired by Hope, and then the next hacker conference I went to, which was in Germany, to start a hackerspace, which led me to giving workshops, which led me to giving workshops all over the world and getting more involved with hacker conferences and then helping organize them. And one thing leads to another. And I love my life even more now than I did. And if I can help inspire that in others, that makes me happy.
Hey, you're giving a gift to everybody at Hope, aren't you, Mitch?
I don't know if you heard you. The question was that, Mitch, you're giving a gift to everyone who attends the conference.
Yeah. So this Hope, I'm going to give a pair of trip glasses for free to every attendee who comes to Hope.
What is a trip glass? Pair of trip glasses, I guess.
Trip glasses. What's a half of a pair is? Well, anyways, they've been demonstrated on the radio, which doesn't work as well as it might because it's sort of a visual experience. But they're glasses that have a 14-minute meditation sequence that plays through light and sound. And if you wear them with your eyes gently closed, you follow along and you meditate. And what makes it even more fun and wonderful is that you see beautiful colors and patterns from your imagination. And it's really wonderful. I made lots of these things, and I've made all my money from them, so now I just want people to get them if they want them. So I'm bringing more than one for every person who's going to show up at Hope, and we'll give them out at registration. So all you have to do is show up and you can get them. And everyone sees something different when they wear them and use them. So you'll be able to see what you see.
So this is a relative, I guess, of the Brain Machine, which we've discussed on this program a number of times before.
Yeah, the Brain Machine was a project article I wrote up for Make Magazine, and it was one of their more popular projects, I guess because people like imagining colors and patterns from their imagination. That's sort of called hallucinating, and people seem to like hallucinating. So I like encouraging people to explore their creativity this way. And since that was so popular, that was a kit that I made, and it was popular, then I decided I'd manufacture trip glasses. I couldn't call it Brain Machine because BrainMachine.com was taken, so trip glasses seem cool.
And I guess you won't be giving them away, but for anyone in the world who doesn't yet have a TV Be Gone, I guess people will be able to make one.
Yeah, I'll have at my Learn to Solder workshops, which are, I keep saying that, I'm in USC, Learn to Solder workshops. Anyone can learn to solder. I've taught lots of 3, 4, 5, 6-year-olds and even people who are ancient like me how to solder. We can all learn. It's very easy. And I have a lot of kits, including TV Be Gone kits that are all designed for total beginners to complete successfully. And lots of blinky light ones and noisemakers and other people who have kits for beginners to learn to solder will be there helping teaching as well. And it's a lot of fun when people get together and do any kind of activity that's enjoyable like this.
Well, and I guess we should give out we've been so caught up in the excitement, I don't know if we've given out the basic information about the conference. It's called Hope X, and it's this Friday through Sunday at the Hotel Pennsylvania in Midtown Manhattan. The website x.hope.net. And when does it start on Friday? Some ungodly hour.
The opening session is at 10 a.m.
Oh, that's moderately godly, I guess, if you have a god. So it starts at 10. People, you can get there before to help set up and see what's going on. If you're bored tomorrow, come by and help set up. There's always things to carry.
Oh, yeah, that's one of the things that makes hope work is lots and lots of volunteers. And it's a lot of fun to volunteer. You'll meet a lot of incredibly interesting people that are really fun to work with.
Yeah, I mean, we won't say the exact price of the conference, but compared to some of these corporate conferences that cost literally thousands of dollars, Hope is an incredible bargain for all the things we've mentioned this half hour and the so many things that we haven't. That we won't have the time to mention. But the way that is possible is that so much of it is driven by volunteers. All of us here in the studio are volunteers. Most of the people who attend do volunteer at least a bit. And in addition to helping the very real fact that the conference could not happen without the volunteers, it's an excellent way to meet people, to get involved with something you wouldn't otherwise be involved in. Mitch, as you said, you showed up at Hope once and started volunteering, and now have your hands in every pie. But
it's just too much fun. I do want to mention also that Hope is absolutely open to anyone. All you have to do is show up, and you can come in and hopefully have the time of your life.
Absolutely. I think a lot of us in this room started just volunteering and sort of got pulled into the whole vortex and ended up, watch out. Yeah, watch out. You might end up in the studio one day. But yeah, my efforts to get our guests on the phone have not been fruitful. So we'll just go on with how we are. Bernie, you're still there?
Hello.
Hi there.
I happen to have Matt Blaze standing next to me, one of our renowned speakers.
Excellent.
He's actually on the speaker selection committee. Matt, you want to say hi to the audience?
Hi, see you all at Hope.
Hello, Matt. See you at Hope.
Matt is giving a fascinating talk. Matt, what's the title of your talk you're giving?
Location, location, location.
And what does that mean?
How you are tracked through your mobile devices and what, if anything, you can do about it.
And Matt, you're qualified to talk about this. Why?
Because I'm an incredibly smart guy.
And what do you do for a living?
I'm a professor here at the University of Pennsylvania.
And he is one of the most knowledgeable people about telecommunications I've ever met. So that's one of the 100 or so speakers you want to hear at HopeX.
That was a pretty weak promotion for what I'm sure will be an excellent talk.
I'm very shy about being on the radio.
But yeah, I'm just paging through this thing again. And
Let me mention there's going to be lightning talks.
Lightning talks. What are lightning talks?
So lightning talks were created, I think, by the Chaos Computer Club in Germany. But they're 5-minute talks on any subject you want. And you can get up and present about a project, something that interests you, something that you just think is kind of cool that other people should get to know about, a project that you need help with, anything, any subject whatsoever you can talk about. And these are going to be going on Friday afternoon 4 to 6 p.m. and Saturday 4 to 5 p.m. unless there's more, and it'll continue till 6.
It's a really excellent way. Maybe you don't have a full hour's worth of things to say, but you have something that the audience should know about, and you get 5 minutes. And usually people do show up to listen to these talks.
Oh, they're really popular.
So it's always, and if you're in the audience and it rarely happens that someone's boring, but if someone's boring, there'll be someone else in 5 minutes. So,
it's great for those modern attention spans that the media is always trying to tell us young folks have these days. But also a lot of full-length talks started as a lightning talk somewhere, and it is a way. And as well as a lot of our scheduled talks started in the unscheduled track, which we have gone over, haven't we? Mm. We haven't gone over the unscheduled track. What's in the U room?
Bernie did talk about it a bit. But maybe what's in the U room, Bernie? Any additional information?
There are three main speaker tracks at Hope. There's the Manning room, the Serpico room, and the Olson room. But there's a fourth room. They're all named after really renowned whistleblowers. And some of them aren't renowned, but you'll find out more when you come. But there's the U room, which could imply that you could be a whistleblower too. It's a room that holds about 100 people. And it's right on the 18th floor next to the other conference rooms. And anybody can sign up for a one-hour speaking slot or for a five-minute lightning talk. Lightning talks are really interesting. Where you can squeeze out a really good talk in 5 minutes about something. And that will all be happening in the U room on the 18th floor.
That's, of course, U-Y-O-U, not E-W-E, so don't go in there looking for a female sheep.
Yeah, although, if you have a talk about sheep, maybe
I think that's permitted.
That could be the place to give it. I don't think we have any talk about sheep on the schedule, but we do have a talk about travel, about visualization. I'm just scrolling through the list. When confidentiality and privacy conflict, by our friend DKG, who's now from the ACLU. So many talks about whistleblowing and the NSA and this, which is something that we at Hope have been talking about for decades at this point, but it's just exploded, and we are not missing that boat.
Aesthetics, have we talked about what your talk is?
A little bit. I guess I can revisit. Just a summary for people who may have missed it earlier. It's internet names, online identity, and issues that people have run into. And this is something I didn't mention before, but I want to really focus in the talk on the notion of trust and what trust really means and some of the issues that we're running into with websites and how they do verification and so on and so forth. So, and I think it's at 11 p.m. on Saturday. I think that's right. I don't have the phone gizmo thing in front of me, but you check x.hope.net and find out.
I just know how to scroll through it, not how to look for things, but it's really entertaining to scroll through it because there's just so much going on. Aesthetics, you, in addition to your talk, you always have your, again, another person with his hands in many of the pies at Hope. Anything that the audience should know about?
So I've been doing a lot of stuff with press this time around, and here's what I can say. So I think go back to, I don't know, the another years of 2008, 2006, and so on. We had all kinds of trouble getting any kind of press. I think it was in 08. Was that the Last Hope? I can't remember the name. Okay, that was the Last Hope, where we were super excited because we got onto Boing Boing, and that was a huge deal. And, I mean, it was, you know, and we're very grateful to Cory Doctorow for all the things that he's helped us with. Cory rocks. So then we got a little bit more, I guess, so then Occupy happened, and more people became aware of this stuff. But my God, after I guess it's because of Snowden. That's the only thing I can think of is we've been just Snowden and Ellsberg. Well, I mean, just even just Snowden doing the revelations and making it so that I have like family who are totally non-technical, not aware of any of this stuff. And I remember going to this wedding last summer, and all of them were asking me what the hell's going on with the NSA. And I'm just like, you even know about this stuff? So it seems that the word of paranoia, or just people being more wise about how they use things on the internet, is starting to get out there, and maybe more people are interested. And that is surely demonstrated by, I'm in just a wild ratio here. I think we've gotten at least double the press attention that we had in 2012. So,
and one of the things, you know, sitting at registration that's really fun for me is I get to tell press who just show up unannounced, you know, to go away. So these are the registered press who we will not tell to go away, and we'll write some great stories, I hope.
Well, people who come up and say that they're press are more than welcome to enjoy the conference as long as they pay for admission like the rest of us. So
that so rarely works out, but but of course it's always an option.
Okay, another thing we have going on is we have our own radio station at Hope. We have we call it Radio Statler, after the original name of the Hotel Pennsylvania, and a couple of you guys are involved with all that. You want to tell us a little bit about it?
Sure. It's a streaming internet radio station. It's going basically, I believe, 24 hours a day for the entire length of the conference. Neo and I both co-host a late-night talk program.
One of the things that's great about Hope is that even though it's only every 2 years for just 3 days each time, there are definitely like continuing things that can be said to happen like this at every conference, like your program, and it's really exciting to see.
Well, once you've established a certain rapport with people and get into the habit and fall into the vortex that Rob talks about, it's very hard to get out. It's very addictive. And returning to every conference, there's a sense of camaraderie that has developed over the years. I really felt that last time in 2012, where people would come back, and they would come back with their kids, they would come back with family members, they would say, you know, this is the deep, dark secret I was hiding from you all these years. And suddenly their eyes would open up and say, oh, well, this is a blinking light, or this is how you put something together, this is how my remote control worked. You know, this sense of camaraderie is it's really it's taking force, and it's brought us back, and we keep getting asked to do the same level and quality and tenor of programming on Radio Statler. So it's a pleasure, it's an honor, it's a homecoming, it's everything. So tune in.
Yeah,
yeah, I wanted to add something about Radio Statler that we just found out today.
And what's that, Bernie?
That is a real live FM radio station on the Hudson River Valley. WGXR has kindly offered to simulcast some of the Radio Statler audio.
Well,
this is fantastic.
Yeah, that is fantastic news. I mean, we'll for the first time, I think, be an actual radio station as well as an online internet station.
Broadcasting on the internet and on the air, live from Hope X.
And of course, you can listen to that if you can't make it to the conference, or if you're at the conference, go to radio.hope.net, and you can stream it, or apparently you'll be able to listen to it on some airwaves.
Rob, I'm going to bow out. I've got to finish packing the truck here, but I will see you at Hope.
Excellent. I will see you at Hope, Bernie.
Bye, everyone. Hello, Bernie. See you.
This is Strix. I just had one quick question. Does Hope ever go to sleep?
Well, we did mention the advice that each individual at Hope should go to sleep at some point most nights, but the conference itself does not. It starts on Friday morning and goes straight through till Sunday evening.
We are hackers. We keep all sorts of schedules, and they're all compatible with Hope, because there is always something going on, no matter what. You know, you go to the mezzanine at stupid o'clock in the morning, and there will be people doing things that that might interest you. And yeah, it's just there is so much to do, and I wish there were a way to do it all.
Being one of those people that the five in the 5-2-1 rule is really meant for, because I have literally been awake and at Hope from the moment it opened to the moment it closed, at least a couple of times. I can definitely say it does not ever sleep. It does not ever stop until they finally kick us out of the building.
The conference never sleeps.
The city never sleeps. And, of course, the people who are still around at the end of the conference, very often they help us break things down and pack things away, which is also very, very vital. That's My first time I went to Hope, one of the first things I did to get further involved was I helped break things down at the end. And, you know, it's important, and we depend on your help. So if you're attending and you're able to help us set up, or you're able to help us break down, come down and volunteer.
And if you need help staying awake, there's plenty of this drink called Club Mate.
Club Mate. It's got caffeine in it or something, doesn't it?
I believe it does.
And it has matine in it, which yerba mate is full of.
Which people like to pretend is somehow different than caffeine, but I won't comment on that.
And you'll get used to the taste, I promise.
I think anyone who has been to the conference before and has had some, usually, if they come back for a second glass, even, they've gotten used to the taste.
Okay. One thing I would like to do for maybe a few minutes is possibly take some listener phone calls. Those of you with headphones will be able to hear.
Do we have that technology?
We might have that technology, and I'm going to attempt to make it work. So if you'd like to give us a call at country code 1-212-209-2900 and tell us what's on your mind, ask us about the conference, or whatever else is going on, get in touch with us and let us know. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook.
Hi. It's Professor Kleistron. I have a correction for Bernie S. and three news items that could not really be sent in because they will happen this week.
Excellent. Well, what's going on?
Okay, first of all, Bernie S. misquoted. The station up in Acra, Catskill, and Hudson, New York, that's rebroadcasting you is not WGXR, it's WGXC, with its main studio in Acra. Okay, I got three. I'll go try to be quick.
Do you happen to know the frequency of that station?
90.7, 3,300 watts, 28-acre wave farm, formerly the facilities of free 103.9 FM.
All right.
Excellent. Well, thank you for that, Professor.
Okay, and I have a few items for you. One is that Google has shut down on their groups. Their groups is the first thing they're pulling down. They've shut down anybody running anything lower than Windows IE 9 In other words, Windows 8 and below, if you're running Vista XP, you cannot use Google Groups anymore. And they just cut it off two days ago. And so I administer several groups, and all of a sudden our members are, like, getting plastered. We're getting, like, doubled over HTML, weird messages, and we cannot use the service. All we can do is limp and send each other cryptic messages, and the parts of the screen are sliding. Okay, next item.
Of course, an antidote to that would be to use an alternative browser such as Firefox or Chrome or Chromium. What else is going on?
No, I would say we can't be divided like that. It's kind of like the evil empire strikes back on us. They're taking back
It never everything. Ceases to amaze me, Rob, the dedication people have to using Microsoft products. They won't be divided from Bill Gates, but...
Maybe we should just equate.
Well, let me bring up the next subject, because it kind of brushes that.
Okay.
We've been getting upstate together, and it's not a big enough group, but we're developing an operating system, an entire operating system. We breadboarded that it's going to be about 360 megs on a disk, and the code name for it of our own is called Fleet, F-L-E-E-T. And you can't Google it, for one thing, because you get billions upon billions of things named Fleet. But the address I'd like to give out for participation is the Radio Literacy Project. That would be 164 Delaware Street, number 3, Walton, W-A-L-T-O-N, New York, 13856. If you could repeat that around the net and whatever.
Okay.
And I'm kind of tugging on their... shirt tails. It's a Radio Literacy Project.
Okay, well, that sounds worthwhile. We're going to move on to another call, but thank you very much for your information, Professor. And, let's see who else is out there. Good evening.
Peters.
You are on Off the Hook.
Hey, how's it going? Actually, coming to Hope this weekend, my first time.
That's exciting.
Had a couple questions about the network.
I don't know that we have... anyone here who's an expert on the network, but maybe we can make up an answer for you.
just curious if you ended up getting the resources you were looking for. Go ahead.
I believe we did. I read very briefly that the network will be thousands of times or hundreds of times faster than any network we've had in the past, and that's really exciting, but I don't know if anyone here knows the details.
Is that a technical term?
Yep, we haven't got the details,
cool.
But the details will be available on signs posted around the conference.
Yeah, the word is that we're going to have more bandwidth than all the previous hopes put together.
Wow. Excellent. I think awesome. We upgraded from the 28.8K modem that we've been using. And,
was it a Win modem?
Indeed it was.
No.
It was also a sound card. You could
parts.
Get... yeah. Okay, let's... let's see if anyone else is out there. Thank you very, very much for your call, and we will hope to see you at Hope. And nobody else is out there, so somebody else should be out there. Give us a call, 212-209-2900, and let us know what's on your mind. Next week, not only will we all be half dead from the conference, but it will be a fundraising episode, so we won't get to do this for a while. Give us a call.
While we're waiting for someone to call in... just some of the people here thought it might be a good idea to announce the ham radio frequencies that we will be operating at Hope. And according to the note that I've been handed here, it is 147.545 megahertz and 433.545 megahertz transmitting in simplex. So any ham radio operators within range of the Hotel Pennsylvania... you can try listening on those bands, and you should be able to pick up some of our amateur radio operators.
Very, very cool.
Even talk to them.
Okay, we've got some calls coming in. Let's see who is out there. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook.
Oh, dear. It's a telephone call from a wind tunnel. are you there, caller?
How are you doing?
Hello. How are you? What's on your mind?
Nothing. I'm just basically just got into computers. I mean, I'm very late. Into the game. I'm just looking for courses just to learn the basics and everything. Any ideals of, you know, I'm currently on Roosevelt Island as a hospital patient, but I'm eventually going to be leaving soon. But I want to get more literate into computers in general.
Well, we can say that a good way to get started with something like that is to whatever area you're in, if you're in this caller's area or somewhere else, just start putting out web searches for your local area plus computer courses. Check your local libraries, things like that, and you're bound to find something. Thank you very much for that call.
The folks who follow us on the Personal Computer Show also always have a lot of information on that topic, and we should mention that Michael Horwitz from the Personal Computer Show will be giving a talk at Hope on securing a home wireless router. So that should be interesting as well.
Indeed it should. Let's see who else is out there in the couple of minutes we got left. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook.
Hi.
Hello. What's on your mind?
Not much. I just put the tail end of this. What is this, a gathering just to get together and learn things about what? Everything in general?
Yeah, that's pretty specifically what it is. It's learning everything in general, and you can find out more at hope.net. That's hope.net. Or just show up.
Oh, yeah, show up. Oh, that's the other thing. You're saying that don't say the price, and then you say you can show up for free.
The price is not free, actually. This is a conference. You do have to get a ticket. But okay, if you're...
I'll look into it. Okay. I heard you say anybody could show up or something.
Well, anyone can show up, but then you do have to buy a ticket to actually get inside.
Yeah, we try to make it as inexpensive as possible.
Oh, not a problem. It sounds like a great idea.
Any other conference for 3 days, this is incredibly cheap.
Indeed,
yeah, it's more like you just want more cooperation between everybody and just drop all, you know, just get together and, like, you know, work together and learn together and play together nicely. Is that kind of the idea of it or what?
Well, we do try to encourage that.
All right, thank you very much for that call. Let's see if we can fit one more call in here in a minute or so. Good evening, you're on Off the Hook. Good evening, you're not on Off the Hook.
We should clarify as well, the price is not a secret. It's just the station regulations won't allow us to say it on the air. But if you go to x.hope.net, you can find out and you can see that it's really not that much money.
Indeed. And as Mitch said, it's not expensive for this sort of thing. If you work somewhere that wishes to send you there, you can do that as well. It's going to be a hell of an event, and I'm looking forward to it. Okay, we have got maybe a minute left and one call on the line. Let's see who's out there. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook.
Hi. I'm also new in the computer, and I want to know how to put the... I have an account, YouTube account.
Excellent.
I want to know how to put the YouTube from the website if I like something. Say if I like Mountains of Speech. How do I transfer it to my YouTube?
I think what you're asking for is more along the lines of our friends at the Personal Computer Show, which is coming up very soon. So keep listening and call them back in very shortly. So I think that's about all we have time for. One last time, go to hope.net, go to x.hope.net specifically for more information on the conference. Show up at the Hotel Pennsylvania, right across the street from Penn Station and Madison Square Garden in Midtown Manhattan, this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And some sort of history is going to happen.
Look forward to seeing you all there.
I look very forward to it, too. And on that note, send us email, oth@2600.com. Many thanks to all our guests stuffing this studio with their presences. And for Bernie, who's no longer with us on the phone, though otherwise doing fine.
Well, it's been a few minutes. We assume it's been he's doing fine. But
we miss him already.
And we should mention that Emmanuel is also fine, just a bit too busy for us this evening, but he will be at the conference, of course.
He is throwing things around on trucks in order to enable us to have this conference, which should be fun. So for Off the Hook and for Hope, this is Rob T. Firefly. Hope to see you there in a couple of days.
want us to rejoice ourselves and show, release what we got inside. Forget that 9 to 5 and let that body shine. That's all we gotta do, and all night long till the break of dawn, man. And all this is meant to be together. Together.
Woo! Hey, that's the way it ends, Rob? Man, oh man, that was a bit abrupt. Yeah, I just came from Grant's Tomb. They're having a little jazz concert over there, but I had to come back and do the shoe over here at WBAI. It's a beautiful day. It's a beautiful summer out there. We had all that rain, and now the rain is done no more for at least today. All righty then, and you know what it is? Hey, well, you look at the time. It's 8 o'clock here at WBAI New York 99.5 FM. Also streaming on the web at WBAI.org. It's Wednesday, July 16th, 2014. And you know what that means? It's time for the Personal Computer Show.
Good evening, this is Hank Key. Welcome to the Personal Computer Show. With me in the studio this evening is Stevie Deeby. And we have on remote Joe King. Joe, you're there, right?
Well, I wouldn't say that I'm remote. I'm on this new invention they came up with. I think you may know the guy who invented it, Alexander Graham Bell.
No, he did not invent the tin can. Okay, boom, ba da dum bum.
Hank, when did anybody in your life, a lot of people know you, a lot of people respect your knowledge of technology, a lot of people like you as a human being, but I've never known anybody who complimented you on telling a joke.
Oh, I thought his joke was funny.
Well, yeah, by the way, we got a lot of material, so let's go through it, okay? First, I just want to say that we received a email from the general manager of WBAI, and he has advised us that from our perspective, all the premiums that we had been outstanding with many listeners, and many listeners have complained that they have been processed as of yesterday or the day before, and I would advise that if by next Wednesday, if you haven't gotten it, let us know and we'll follow up on it.
Hank, who are you going to follow up with?
I'm going to follow up with the general manager.
Well, why not just let the folks do that?
Well, how would they contact the general manager directly?
I don't know.
You don't know? Okay.
I don't know, because usually when I write to him, I don't get an answer.
Okay. Well, if you contact us at pcradioshow.org...
No. If you contact Hank at pcradioshow.org...
Or you can contact Joe at PC Radio.
PC Radio at PC Radio.
Wait, now I understand that you have detente with the general manager.
I have a what?
Detente?
Isn't that an ant?
By the way, I just want to let everyone know that yes, we are fundraising next week.
We are.
Yay.
Wait a minute. Didn't we just fundraise last week?
No,
it was a couple of weeks ago.
Stevie, are you talking in the background, or are you just mumbling to yourself?
Both.
Well, we are preparing a premium in addition to what we already have, and I think that one of the things that at least I'm quite excited about, is that we feel that many people are interested in replacing Windows XP, and I think we've identified Linux distros that you can replace it with, where it's ready to run, where you just set it up, install it, and you don't have to...
What about all my existing XP programs?
Well, hopefully what we've identified will run those XP programs. And this
You mean
is...
I can take one of your XP distros, one of your Linux distros, put it on my old obsolete XP machine, and it'll run my word processor,
Well, let me put it this way. There are so many Windows applications, I could not say for sure that it's 100%, but a high percentage of them would run, and I know that there are some listings that indicates what will or will not run. But we, you know, we'll see, okay? But we're going to make it available, and we'll go through the details of it next week. I don't want to tie up the time on that. You know, Microsoft has a number of product support announcements they made, Joe, and I think that we really should let people know about it, that the January 13th of next year, all versions of Windows 7, including Windows 7 with SP1, Enterprise, Home, Basic, Home Premium, Ultimate, everything, is end of support.
Wait a minute. Oh, let's stop there. Oh, wait. You're telling me that I just finished breaking my back, switching all my machines last month from XP to Windows 7,
let me finish.
Windows 7 is going to be obsolete in a few months?
Let me finish, okay? They are ending support in terms of patches, in terms of enhancements. However, they have extended the support of Windows 7 to January 14th, 2020 for security updates.
Well, I'm not sure the difference between patches and security patches.
Well, in other words, like enhancements, new features that you might normally call SP2, which there aren't.
You're saying bugs. They're not going to fix things that they broke in the first place, but they are going to continue to support security breaches.
Well, they want to move everyone off.
Why didn't they do it good in the first place? I wouldn't have to worry about it.
Okay, now, what they snuck into that announcement is that Office 2010 support ends, period, October 14th of this year.
Well, that doesn't affect me. I'm running Office 2007.
Which was already ended, okay? And you know what I was surprised by, that they also ended all support for? Windows 8, and because they're saying everything should be Windows 8.1.
Well, I don't think that's really a big announcement. If they come out with a major release like 8.1, and they're not charging for it, then, you know, I don't see why they should continue to support earlier versions.
Okay.
Now, that doesn't bother me.
All right.
What bothers me is that I've only been on Windows 7 for 8 or 9 months now, and they're telling me I got until the beginning of next year, and Stevie, I think there's a technical term for that I'm not allowed to use on the air. Is that correct?
Well, if it's one of the seven words, you better not use it, okay?
Yeah, I think it's two of the seven words.
Two of the seven words. I think the word "you" is permissible.
I don't know about that, but I'm pretty sure the suffix "er" is part of it.
You know, Microsoft is really in a battle right now with, you know, they're getting real competition. And one of the things that was that came out in the news is that Google has made major inroads with Microsoft on the operating system. For instance, January to May of this year, notebook sales in the channels is 35% Chromebook. Huge. And now, last year, they ended with 22% of all notebook sales. Right now...
Could I ask you some figures based on that? And I don't think you have the answer, but I just... When these wonderful stories come through in the standard media, I always look at them and then I say, but what if? They're saying that in the first 6 months of this year, Chromebooks, which is a lightweight netbook, really, when you stop and think about it, represented such and such a percentage.
But by the way, between 35 to 40% of all channel sales.
Okay. Now, what percentage the year before of all channel sales was a netbook?
Well, how do you define a
netbook?
Nobody
has published that.
No one's published that.
And this year, what is the percentage
of
netbooks?
Wait.
But last year, Hank, the Chromebook has replaced the netbook. I have a wonderful Acer netbook. I think it's called the 250D, and it's made by Acer, and I got it some years ago for, I think, $250, and I think you bought one the same week I did. And now we're suddenly comparing Chromebooks to big machines that are...
There is a difference, Joe. Let me tell you what the difference is, okay? With netbooks, you were able to run Office, Microsoft Office on it.
Uh-huh.
With these Chromebooks, you have to go into the cloud, and it's really a a light version of Microsoft Office with Google Docs in the cloud.
Hank, let's be honest. Well, you can also run, I believe, Office 360, can't you?
Yeah, but yeah. Wait. But that is at a monthly charge.
Yes. Everything is at a charge. These statistics you're giving me are not done by real market analysts. They're done by spin doctors. And their theme this week is let's push the Chromebook. And last week it was let's push the netbook. And the week before that it was let's push...
Well, I think it's more than that.
Here's the thing. And this is strictly my opinion. And you got two choices. One is to accept it, and one is not to accept it. People today, most people that I speak to, and I'm not talking about the enterprise, and I'm not talking about the government or the NSA. I'm talking about people-type people. Most people I know want a very lightweight thing that they can carry around or even keep at home on their desk, which is already crowded with all the kids' toys, which will let them get their email and browse the Internet. And that's about it.
Wait, you left out one other factor. At a very cheap price.
Yeah, of course
Like $200. Like $200, you can get yourself a brand new Chromebook.
So why should, if that's all they're going to do, why should they... Now, you can tell me the Chromebook doesn't do this and the Chromebook doesn't do that, but neither do these people.
I was just going to say that with a projection of 40% of sales so far this year for the Chromebook, that means that a very high percentage of the population, all they want is something to go on the Internet. That's all they want.
Now on Sunday, I had the opportunity to talk with a friend who, for whatever the reason, he had been overseas and his wife had been busy and his son had been in school. And we haven't talked for a very long time. And he told me his whole life had changed. He just got himself a MacBook Air. Spent over $2,000 with all the different things he bought on it. And I said, well, let's spend a minute and talk about exactly what you did the last week. Let's do a log of your work of the last week.
On a computer.
On this brand new life-changing MacBook Air. Well, he did all kinds of email. He did a fair amount of browsing on the Internet. That's it.
That was it. You're right.
$2,000. I said you could do the same job, exactly the same job, for $200.
Well, you know, Joe, that's almost like someone buying a Ferrari and you ask him,